The scripture this morning is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Now, these books were written by Peter about Christian life and duties, and he was also a contemporary of Paul. So the scripture goes, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. You must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, we're now in Lent, and if there was something that you felt that God asked you to give up or to add to your life so that you connect with God, I hope that you're doing well with that. I know a new habit or a new routine can be challenging, so if you have already dropped the ball, it's okay. Everything is forgiven. Let's pick it back up and keep moving forward as we connect with God during this time. But welcome once again to Living Water Church. And so we're beginning a new series now that we're in Lent called It Is Finished. And we're going to look at the final words of Jesus when he was on the cross. So if you would, go ahead and grab those message notes and maybe something that you could take, a pen or a pencil, so you can take some notes as we go through this. And I think this timing is perfect for us to do this series. I really believe this series is going to help prepare us for Easter. It's also going to help us to just get into this Lenten season of what the cross is all about. Because the resurrection of Jesus changed everything for us. It's the cornerstone of our faith. Jesus is alive and death is defeated, and the resurrection is the most significant moment of hope in all of human history. But the truth is that without the crucifixion, there would have not been a resurrection. Without Good Friday and just the horrors of that day, there is no Easter Sunday. And there's no way to fully understand the beauty of the resurrection unless you're willing to come to grips with the agony of the cross. The gospel tells us that Jesus was arrested unfairly, that he went through a sham trial, that he was condemned to death by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, that all of Jesus' closest friends and his disciples abandoned him. The crowds that had cheered him on 1 week before now jeered at him and called for his execution. After he was convicted, the Roman soldiers took Jesus and they whipped him and they beat him to within an inch of his life. Then they forced Jesus to carry his own cross to the place of his execution. And that's where we pick up the story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. And it says, "And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross." You know, on the crucifixion, the soldiers would have taken a spike and they would have driven it between the bones in both of Jesus' wrists, and then they would have driven a spike between the bones in his feet. And the pain that Jesus would have been enduring at that moment just would have been excruciating, unimaginable. And then it says this, "They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece." The Roman soldiers knew that Jesus wasn't coming down from that cross alive. So they were splitting up his stuff between them. Verse 25, "It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him." So Jesus would hang on that cross in excruciating pain for the next 6 hours, probably before he died. And he probably died from severe exhaustion and suffocation, because suffocation was usually how someone died when they were crucified. On the cross at 9 a.m., he died at 3 p.m., 6 hours later. And crucifixion was a form of execution reserved for the most despised people in society. The Romans only crucified those that they considered scum. It was a humiliating way to die. And there are some who would have hung on that cross for days before they succumbed to death. The fact that Jesus was on that cross for only 6 hours, it speaks to how brutally the Roman soldiers beat him before they crucified him. It also speaks to how heavy the weight was of the sins of the world being placed on his shoulders, the one who had known no sin. But in those 6 hours that Jesus hung on the cross, the four Gospels record from eyewitnesses six profound statements that came directly from Jesus' lips. The final words of Christ on the cross are full of purpose and of meaning. And through these final words, Jesus reveals much of who he was and why he had to die. And so today I want to look at perhaps the most extraordinary words that Jesus spoke from the cross. The words that Jesus spoke in excruciating pain immediately after they put those nails in his hands and feet. But what's even more remarkable about that? Well, before I get into that, but you know, here's the words that Jesus said as he was at the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them." Just three simple words. "Father, forgive them." These are perhaps the most remarkable words that Jesus spoke on the cross, considering that these words, that he was forgiving the people who had just put those nails in his hands and feet. But it's what's even more remarkable was that Jesus forgiving those who were causing him tremendous pain are the theological implications of Jesus' words. So let me just kind of explain what I'm talking about. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," Jesus was claiming to have the power to forgive sins. And this would have been seen as just extraordinary, maybe even blasphemous claim. But here's the thing. That wasn't the first time that Jesus claimed to have the power to forgive sins. In fact, just a couple years earlier, Jesus had gotten into trouble for making the same claim when he healed a paralyzed man who had been brought to him. So let's just take a moment and look at this story. We find it in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Some people came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus," because Jesus was inside that room teaching, "but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus." Verse 20, "Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, 'Young man, your sins are forgiven.' But the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, 'Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.'" And I want you to get this. They were right. Only God can forgive sins. So I want you to understand what Jesus is claiming here. He's claiming to be God. Verse 22, "Jesus knew what they were thinking. 'Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat and go home.'" Jesus is saying it's true. Only God can forgive sins, the sins that stand between you and him, the sins that stand between you and heaven, by forgiving the sins of the paralyzed man, and on the cross, by forgiving those who had crucified him, and not just the soldiers, but the sins of the entire world. Jesus makes the extraordinary claim that he is God. In fact, in your notes, would you just write this on that first blank line where it says, "Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them,' which means as God the Son, he can forgive my sins no matter what I've done." Right? He can forgive your sins no matter what you've done. As God, Jesus has the power to forgive your sins no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of life you've lived to this point. A few hours after he uttered these words at 3 p.m. on Good Friday, Jesus died. Now there was a Roman soldier standing nearby who witnessed the whole thing, saw the earthquake, saw it get dark in the skies at this moment, and by watching all this, he makes this stunning realization of who Jesus really was. And as Jesus died, the Roman soldier exclaimed, "Truly, this is the Son of God." If Jesus can forgive those who nailed him to the cross, He can forgive your sins no matter what you've done. Well, what does it mean then that Jesus is the Son of God? What does it mean that he can and will forgive our sins? Well, let's just look at this and kind of take it one step at a time. First of all, it says I can receive a full pardon for my past sins. And I love that word pardon. I mean, would you circle that word pardon in that verse? The word pardon, it's a legal term. It means complete remission of the legal consequences of having broken the law. That's what a pardon is. It's the complete remission of the legal consequences of having broken the law. An example of this would be, let's say I was driving, wasn't paying attention, I end up running a red light, and there's a cop there. And so I get pulled over, and now I have to go and see the judge, and the judge says, yep, you're guilty. It's a $200 fine. That's my penalty for breaking the law. But let's say someone more powerful, like maybe the governor, comes in and says, you know what, Todd, I'm going to pardon you for that. You can go free, no fine, you don't have to pay the price for having broken the law. That's a pardon. It doesn't mean I'm innocent. No, I'm still guilty, but the consequences of that guilt are taken away. I don't have to pay for it. So when Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, he's saying, Father, do not make them pay the price for their sin. I'll pay it for them on this cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, we heard Jan read that larger passage, but that one verse says he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And then underline this last phrase, by his wounds you are healed. You are healed by Jesus' wounds from that cross. You are forgiven. Jesus made possible taking away your sins and my sins. On that cross, Jesus took the punishment that you deserved. He paid the price that you owe for your guilt so that you can be pardoned, so that you can don't have to be separated from the presence of God now, and so that you can don't have to miss heaven when you die, so you don't have to spend all of eternity in that prison of hell. So now over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at these statements that Jesus made on the cross. And I believe you're going to find that there is just a lot of depth of meaning behind each of these statements. I believe you're going to find that these statements build a rock-solid foundation to your faith in Jesus being the Son of God, our Savior, and our advocate to Almighty God. So here's the thing. When you're hearing this, whether you're hearing the story of the crucifixion for the first time, or you've been a Christian for a long time, and it's like the 1,000th time you're hearing this story, my encouragement is to be a part of this series the next 6 weeks. I promise you, you're going to learn some things that maybe you've never even known, never even maybe even heard before. And you're going to walk away with a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for you on the cross. And so if you would, just for a moment, if you would take out your connection card there in your notes and turn it over to the back, and you'll see that third next step. And it just says, you know, I'm going to make a commitment to be a part of this It Is Finished series as much as is possible. And if you feel led to do that, would you just make that commitment? Say, I'm going to be a part of this series. I think it's going to be really good for my faith. And go ahead and make that commitment. And it's really going to help prepare you for Easter. When Jesus said those final words, Father, forgive them, he made possible the pardoning of you from the consequences of your sin. And when you ask for and accept God's forgiveness, he wipes away your sins entirely. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 describes God's forgiveness this way. It says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Now, when you are forgiven by Jesus, you are forgiven, period. It's done. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to confession. You don't have to do penance. You might have to make up from some of those things in the past, but you don't have to do any good acts in order to have that for you. It is a free gift of God. That's how Jesus forgiveness works. It's a free gift. And maybe, you know, you might be struggling with that idea that God could forgive you. Maybe you struggle that God, you know, how could he possibly give the things I've done? You know, maybe you've cheated on your spouse and it just really messed up your marriage. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction and that addiction just has hurt so many people. You know, maybe, you know, there's just a lot of things. Maybe you're running from God and you're just doing the opposite of everything that you know God wants you to do, no matter what you've done. You can be forgiven completely today. You can be forgiven immediately. So as Jesus hung on the cross, just in excruciating pain, struggling for breath with all the strength he could muster, he said, "Father, forgive them." And today, Jesus will forgive you as well, all of it. All you have to do is believe in him and ask for his forgiveness. So today I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that just in a moment when we pray. But first, that's not all that happens. Because Jesus will forgive your sins, and then the next thing is I can forgive others who have hurt me. You know, write that in your notes. Because you have been forgiven, I can forgive others who have hurt me. Now this is big, because as Jesus hung on the cross and Jesus uttered those words, "Father, forgive them," and those words, he didn't say it because the people who crucified him deserved to be forgiven. They absolutely did not deserve to be forgiven. And so what I want you to understand is Jesus doesn't forgive you because you deserve to be forgiven. Jesus forgives you for your sins even though you don't deserve it. Even though you could never pay him back no matter how hard you tried. In fact, the theological word for that is grace. Jesus forgives you because he loves you. It's an incredibly just undeserved, absolutely free gift. This is the beauty of Jesus' forgiveness. We never deserve it. Yet still he loves us. Yet still he forgives when we ask. And when he does, I now have the power to forgive others who have hurt me when they don't deserve it. Ephesians 4, chapter 32 talks about this. And this is such an important thing for us that I want us to read this verse out loud together. It starts with the words, "Be kind." And it says, "Instead, be kind." Let's read this together. "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Just as God has forgiven you. You know what? That's such an important verse. I want us to read that verse again a little bit slower to let it get from the head to the heart. Ready? Let's read that one more time. Ready? A little slower. "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Would you underline that last part? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, I forgive others because God, through Jesus, has forgiven me. And this is a universal principle. You cannot give something to someone else that you have never experienced in your own life. You can't forgive someone who hurt you that doesn't deserve to be forgiven if you have never been forgiven when you don't deserve to be forgiven. And I bet we could all share the stories of how we've been hurt by someone or something in our past. You know, maybe it was in the distant past for you. Maybe it was something that happened this week. But really, that thing just did a number on you. That hurt that you have. Maybe a friend betrayed you. A spouse walked out on you. A boss who fired you. It hurt. It wasn't fair. And they were wrong. But you know what's hurting you right now. It's not what they did to you, because that's in the past, that's over. What's hurting you now is the anger. It's the bitterness. It's hurting you now is the resentment that you can't forgive them. And now you're in a prison of your own making, a prison of bitterness and resentment, and you don't know how to get out of it. You don't know how to move forward. You don't know how to get past the hurt. And here's the good news. Jesus has given you the key that can free yourself. And that key is forgiveness. Jesus forgave you when you didn't deserve to be forgiven. Now you have the power within you to forgive someone else who hurt you when they don't deserve to be forgiven. So let me ask you this. Are you holding a grudge against today? Who are you angry with? Who hurt you? I want to challenge you right now as we're in this together that you would just forgive them. Just in this moment, just say a prayer and forgive them. Release them today. You're not forgiving them for their benefit. You're not forgiving them because they deserve it. You're forgiving them for yourself so that you can be free. I encourage you to do it now. Let go of that pain. So from the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And now because you're free and you're empowered to forgive others just as God through Christ has forgiven you, but that's not all. Jesus' forgiveness frees you from all guilt and shame. And now I can live a life free from all guilt and shame. And have you ever been on a guilt trip? You did something you know you shouldn't have, and all the guilt that comes. I mean, those aren't fun, are they? One of the consequences of sin is the emotional, spiritual baggage that comes from that sin. The baggage of guilt and shame. And guilt is just that emotional state of feeling guilty. It's feeling unworthy, of feeling like you're not good enough, of just feeling terrible about the decisions you made. And shame, then, is the feeling of humiliation or distress because of your sin. Like the shame you feel when you've given into a sexual temptation, or maybe the shame that you feel when you gave into that anger and you yelled at the kids and you know you shouldn't have. Well, here's the thing. Guilt and shame sometimes serve a really positive purpose. Guilt and shame often precede salvation. Guilt and shame can point you to God when you're not a Christian. They can draw you to repentance and salvation. It helps us to repent. So guilt and shame have a godly purpose of getting you to Jesus to receive forgiveness. But I want you to get this. After you come to Jesus and you're forgiven of your sins, while there still might be consequences to that sin, God's forgiveness frees you from all guilt and all shame of that past sin. But let me tell you what Satan does. Okay, after you become a Christian, Jesus has forgiven you. But Satan has two very powerful weapons in his arsenal that he tries to use against you. And so he can't take away your forgiveness. He can't touch that. But he can use guilt and shame to try to take away your joy. To try to take your effectiveness for him. Your ability to be used by him. You know, he can make your life absolutely miserable if you let him by trapping you into this emotional cage where you can't respond to God's voice because all you hear is the enemy's accusations. And if you allow that to happen, then he can take away God's purpose for your life. And God doesn't want you to carry around that baggage of guilt and shame after you're saved. He wants you to be free of them. So when Jesus called out from the cross, Father, forgive them. He wasn't just forgiving you of your sin. He was freeing you of all the emotional baggage that you've been carrying with you that came from that sin. So look at the way the psalmist describes this in Psalm 32, beginning with verse 1. And I just love this verse. It says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Underline that phrase, whose sin is put out of sight. In other words, it's not just that you're forgiven, but your sin is put completely out of God's sight. You don't have to keep thinking about it. You don't have to keep reliving it. You don't have to keep paying for it. You don't have to allow that to limit what God does in your life. It's gone. Jesus forgave you on the cross. He paid for it so that you don't have to. And now you need to forgive yourself. You don't have to keep beating yourself up. Then the Psalms continues, verse 2, yes. What joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of guilt. Underline that phrase, cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. As Jesus has cleared you of guilt, if he's put your sin completely out of his sight, then why do you keep reliving it? You're completely forgiven. When Jesus called out from that cross, "Father, forgive them," he was taking your guilt and shame upon his shoulders and out of your life completely so that you can live free and joyfully, so that you can be used by God to the absolute fullest. And so if you're struggling with that weight of guilt and shame because of past mistakes, today you can lay that at the foot of the cross. You're forgiven. Now we need to start living that way. You know, when we pray in just a moment, maybe that's what you need to do today. You know, maybe that's why God has you here in this service. Maybe that's what you need to do, is to lay that down. But before we get there, there's one more benefit of Jesus' forgiveness in all of this. When I'm forgiven, when I'm remaining connected to God, I can be assured of a home in heaven for all eternity once I cross over death's door. You know, we began this message with the story of the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by his friends in order to be healed. But instead of just healing him physically, Jesus said something that caught everybody by off guard, just by surprise. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the religious leaders, they got really mad at Jesus. And see, the religious leaders knew something that we often forget, that spiritual healing is far more significant than physical healing. And it comes through forgiveness. And this forgiveness is something only God can offer. So when Jesus offered to forgive that paralyzed man of his sins, and when from the cross he uttered those words, "Father, forgive them," Jesus was showing the world that he is God. And that he does have the power to forgive all of our sins. And because of that, Jesus is assuring you of a home in heaven for all of eternity, if you would put your trust in him and receive his free gift of forgiveness. So let me ask you this. Do you ever doubt that? Do you ever have doubts about this? Like, first of all, maybe you have doubts because you just don't feel like you deserve to go to heaven. Like, maybe you just haven't lived a good enough life in your own opinion. Or maybe you just doubt that Jesus really has the power to forgive you of all your sins and overcome all that darkness that's in your life. But I want you to look at Jesus' own words. From John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, look at what Jesus says. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." In other words, stop worrying about it. Trust in God and trust also in me. Well, what happens when I trust in Jesus? Here's what happens. "There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would have I told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" Jesus has prepared a place in paradise for you and me. A place of absolute perfection and joy where there's no more hurt, there's no more sin, there's no pain, there's no tears, no shame, no more guilt. In fact, we're going to talk about this next Sunday. Because when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he turned to the criminal who was crucified right next to him, and he told that criminal, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." You know, that criminal that was being crucified next to Jesus, he thought for sure that because of his life that he lived, he was going to spend all eternity in hell. But in a moment of desperation, he turned to Jesus, and he put his faith in him, and he asked Jesus to remember him when he got into paradise, got into his kingdom, and right there Jesus forgave him. This person on the cross, he exchanged hell for heaven. And this is what Jesus will do for us right now, today. On that cross, he paid for your sins. He took the punishment that you deserve so that you wouldn't have to. And today Jesus offers you complete and utter forgiveness of all your sins. So when you die, you can spend all of eternity with him in paradise. And all you have to do is receive this free gift, is to believe for yourself that Jesus did die on the cross and that he was raised from the dead. And then begin living a life where you're following God instead of doing things your own way. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." I mean, that's how much God loves us. And so as we pray, maybe you've been struggling with guilt and shame over how you lived your life. over mistakes you've made back in the past. And if that's you, I believe God has brought you in this moment to experience full and complete forgiveness and freedom from that baggage of the past, the guilt and shame. Or maybe you're here and you're just realizing that this is the time. It's time for me to get right with God. It's time for me. Maybe you were at one point and you just kind of drifted, but now's the time to get it to going in the right direction and asking Him again to come into your life. You know, you've been going to church, you believe in God, but there might be someone who's never said to God, "I'm sorry for the life I've lived. Please forgive me." And you're finally ready to do so. Or maybe you need to forgive someone who's hurt you. And you need to let go and free yourself from that bitterness and resentment today. Let's take care of that at this moment as we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank You for helping us to understand how much God truly loves us, for the life that You lived. And we thank You for paying the price for our sins on the cross so that we don't have to. Thank You for forgiving us when we don't deserve it, so that we can now live full lives and spend all of eternity with You in heaven. And as we're praying, if you would like to receive forgiveness from Jesus by believing in Him and asking Him to be your Lord and Savior, you know, this is your moment right now. As we're all praying together, would you just pray this simple prayer silently in your heart as I say the words out loud? Would you just say, "Jesus, thank You for taking my punishment, the punishment that I deserved for my sins on the cross. Thank You for the offer of forgiveness. I accept it today. I believe You gave Your life for me on the cross and that You rose from the dead, overcoming sin and death. And I commit to following You from this day forward as a part of Your church." And as we're continuing praying together, if you've asked for Jesus' forgiveness, but you've just kind of continued to struggle with guilt and shame from the past, things that's back there, now is the time to release that, to step out of that prison, to walk through that open door. God has forgiven you. He has removed it from your life as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. I declare that you are forgiven. You're released from it. Now choose to begin walking in that truth. As we continue praying, would you just repeat these words in your heart as I say them out loud? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for filling me up with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'll claim the power of that forgiveness to release me from any emotional baggage, from any guilt, from any shame. I am choosing to walk from this moment on in the truth of Your total forgiveness. I commit to battling the evil one when he comes with his lies of accusations. I commit to walk in the reality of being a child of the Most High God. And lastly, as we're continuing to pray, maybe you're forgiven, and maybe you've released that baggage of your past, but you're struggling with a wound from someone. Maybe it's a recent wound. Maybe it happened a long time ago, but it's there. Maybe it's not one thing. Maybe it's months or even years of wounds. And you still hear the words. You still feel the pain. You have this endless cycle of remembering what happened, and it plays over and over and over in your mind. Today is the day to begin letting that go. Today is the day to release yourself from that prison by forgiving the person of what happened. Not because they deserve forgiveness, but because God forgave you when you didn't deserve it. So now you have the spiritual power within you to do the same thing to someone who's wounded you and doesn't deserve your forgiveness. If that's you, would you just say these words in your heart as I pray them out loud? Would you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the relationship I enjoy with you. Today I choose to forgive. And then say their name. As you're praying in your heart. Today I choose to forgive. Maybe there's several names you need to say. Just say them in your heart. Be specific of who you're forgiven. Today I choose to forgive. I choose to release them. I no longer claim the need to even the score. I know that God, you will repay any injustice that has been done to me at the great throne room, judgment throne. I commit to bringing my wounded emotions to you over and over until they're finally healed. I commit to stop the rehearsing of the past. And I choose rather to dwell on the joy of my salvation. I choose to dwell on the freedom of my forgiveness and the freedom of having nothing against anyone else. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love. And Jesus, for all of us, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for our salvation. We praise you. For worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all power, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. It's to you that we entrust our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen.